Ladies and gentlemen, the editor of the Illyria Weekly Gazette, Mr. Will Rogers, Jr.
Thank you. You know, some newspapers claim they print all the news that's fit to print, and some others, who won't admit it, just print all the news that fits.
Everything all right, Will?
Oh, hi, Ed. Yeah, everything's all right, except the time of day.
Maggie gone home?
Mm-hmm. Supper time. We're just finishing up the stuff we never get to daytimes.
You just finishing up and me just starting to work.
That's right.
Well, are you going to have anything exciting in the Gazette this week?
Now, Ed, how long since you read anything exciting in the Gazette?
Well, a good long time, I guess.
The nearest thing to hot news this week is a crop analysis in the Agricultural College. You want anything special?
Oh, no, no. Just saw your light. Figured it was you working. Halfway hoped someone had broke in so I could arrest him.
Sorry to disappoint you, Ed. Always thought a peace officer liked things peaceful.
Well, sure, Will, but it gets a little monotonous sometimes.
Now, I'd call peace a peculiar kind of monotony, Ed.
Help you lock up?
No, nothing to do but turn off the light and lock the front door. Breeze must be from the south. That air is right off Hamilton's alfalfa field.
Sure smells like it. Not a sound in this town except the two of us walking.
You can't hear the locusts, huh?
Oh, them.
Oh, now, I'd say the silence of the night's been broken, Officer Miller.
That Martin Andrews never has known how to drink. Keeps practicing, though, figuring to learn it.
Well, gentlemen. Well, we're out pretty late, aren't we?
Hello, Martin.
Yes, indeed. Oh, it's you, Will, and very blurry friend.
Come on, Martin, let's go.
Oh, is that you, Ed?
Yeah, come on.
Need any help, Ed?
No, Martin, I do this a couple of times a week, don't we, Martin?
Well, you'll have to speak louder, Ed. I was listening to the locusts.
I said, let's go.
Shh! It's the middle of the night, Ed. Mustn't disturb the peace, officer. Peace, officer.
You mean you take Martin home and tuck him in?
Yeah, a couple of times a week. Bee's having him drive home. Besides, it breaks the monotony we were talking about a little earlier.
Peace, officer. Well, it's just a little joke.
Well, if you don't need me...
No, he's harmless.
I'll go on home. Good night, Ed.
Good night, Will.
Night, Martin.
What did he say?
Never mind. Let's go.
How late did you work last night, Will?
Midnight, I guess.
Will Rogers.
Well, I think it was midnight, Maggie.
Well, it must have been. You filed all that match stuff that came in from the news service. You cleaned out the file.
What's all this ruckus about?
Well, when I left at supper time, you said you wouldn't be here more than another half hour or so.
Is that what I said?
Well, I'm supposed to help you. That's what an assistant's for.
And you're a big help, too.
Well...
What did you do last night, Maggie?
Oh, I took some flowers by old Mrs. Reynolds. We had a nice talk. She's a wonderful person, Will.
Yes, she is. Did you see Jimmy?
Oh, yes. I almost forgot. He said to tell you he'd look in around noon to see if you had any errands to run.
I don't suppose I'll have any.
And pick up your old blue suit.
How's that again?
No, Will, you know it's too small for you. You don't take a deep breath the whole day long when you wear it. And when you bend over...
Maggie?
It's tight. Across the shoulders. But it's not really worn, and it'll just fit Jimmy. I know it would.
Jimmy must know it, too, seeing he's coming by to pick it up.
I told his grandmother you'd been meaning to give it to Jimmy for a long time.
Oh. You've been giving this a lot of thought, haven't you?
I don't know when he's had a decent suit. They just don't have much, Will. There's some party tonight, and Jimmy's such a fine youngster.
Yeah, he is. He's a good boy. Now, I don't know if it's my place to do any talking on the subject or not.
Oh, sure. Go ahead. After all, it is your suit.
Thought maybe you'd lost track of that. Well, anyway, Jimmy's welcome to it.
Ah, Will. Now, that's just real generous of you.
I think it's every bit as generous of you, Mackie.
I was pretty nice, wasn't I?
Yeah, but there's one thing, though. How did...
Oh, Jimmy now.
Hello, Miss Button.
Hi, well, Jim.
Hello, Jimmy.
I got through a little early. Thought you might have something I could do around here.
Oh, by golly, I don't know what it would be. I went down to the post office earlier. That's about the nearest thing to an errand around here now.
Oh. Well, I just thought I'd check. I'm sort of hustling jobs. I mowed 5 lawns this morning, and I'm not due at the church till 1:30.
You are hustling jobs. What's going on at the church?
Oh, some of us are helping Reverend Erickson clear off that lot for the youth wing of the church, you know?
Well, we did a story on it a couple issues back, Will.
That's right. Yeah, I remember.
Oh, well, if I can pick up the suit, then I'll run it on home. Grandmother said she'd kind of sponge it off and press it.
Probably wouldn't hurt. The thing is...
I'll get it for you, Jimmy.
What were you going to say, Will?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Gee, it sure is nice of you to give me the suit, Will.
Glad to, Jimmy.
Here you go.
Oh, thanks, Miss Button, and thank you again, Will. I'll be in Thursday in time to deliver the papers, okay?
Fine.
Have a good time at the party.
Yeah, thanks.
He's a sweet kid.
Yeah. Maggie?
I stopped by the house on the way to work this morning. Mrs. Weatherwax gave it to me.
Oh. Oh. Isn't it a blame night? Hello.
Okay, we'll go back to the bridge. Get as clean a pattern as you can on the bell. And Will, I'll give you a direct cue for the hello. Because you can't hear it. Yes, sweetie.
Can we go by to 18? Because I said the house instead of your house. And I showed a shoe from Peg.
All right, we'll go back then.
Maggie?
To line 16. The door is just closed, and Maggie says, sweet kid.
He's a sweet kid.
Yeah. Maggie?
I stopped by your house on the way to work this morning. Mrs. Weatherwax gave it to me.
Oh. Middle of a plain night. Hello.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes, ma'am?
This is Mrs. Reynolds, Jimmy's grandmother. I hate to call you at this hour of the night, but I just didn't know who else to turn to.
Something wrong, Mrs. Reynolds?
It's Jimmy, Mr. Rogers. He's in jail.
But what for?
I was so confused and so worried. I'm not sure I understood Ed correctly, but I think he said Jimmy was drunk.
Well, look, Mrs. Reynolds, why don't I just go down there and see what this is all about? Seems to me like there must be some kind of mistake here or something.
Oh, I wish you would, Mr. Rogers. I'm so worried.
Oh, well, now you just take it easy, Mrs. Reynolds. You make yourself some tea. I'll go down and talk to Ed, and I'll come over to your house right afterwards. How's that?
Oh, God bless you, Mr. Rogers. I'll wait till I hear from you then.
Yes, ma'am. Goodbye.
Well, there he is, Will. You can see for yourself.
He's sound asleep. and green as grass.
You've never heard such moaning in your life before he passed out. I've seen some sick ones in my time, but this was the limit.
Remember the first time you ever... Oh.
Just read him in again, Harry, would you?
You never heard such moaning in your life before he passed out. I've seen some sick ones in my time, but this was the limit.
Remember the first drink you ever had, Ed? It makes you sick.
I'm not so sure it's his first, but I'm going to make blame sure it's his last.
I don't think you need to worry about that. Wonder where he got hold of the stuff.
You wouldn't say. Or couldn't.
Where'd you find him?
Middle of the square on the path near the statue.
Well, his grandmother's worried about half to death.
Yeah, I know. She called here. Said she called whoever it was that had the party tonight, and they said Jimmy'd left and that he'd had time to get home. She said she waited some time, then called me.
Well, I'll take him home to her.
You're not taking him anywhere.
I'll save you the trip. I told her I'd stop by.
He's not getting off that easy, Will. He's staying right here.
Oh, well, come on, Ed. The kid belongs at home now. I think I know why you didn't take him home at first. The shape he was in when you found him. But now...
I don't want a whole wave of this stuff starting up. How old is he?
15, I guess.
Well, we're going to nip this thing in the bud, Will, here and now. I don't want a pack of juvenile delinquents in this town. No, sir. I'm going to make an example of Jimmy Reynolds.
You don't mean that, Ed. Why, he's just a kid, and a good kid at that.
He's old enough to get drunk. He's old enough to take his medicine. And the law for being drunk in Elyria reads awful clear. A $200 fine or 30 days in jail.
What about Martin Evers? Or doesn't the law apply to adults?
Finding Martin or putting him in jail wouldn't change him a bit, Will. Now, this Reynolds kid, as soon as he understands he can't get by with it, he won't be so quick to take a drink next time.
Ed, you can't do this. Look at Jimmy. He's had his punishment. You can't make an example of him on his first offense. Don't worry. His grandmother will have plenty to say to him, and so will I. Only let me take him home now.
You got $200? Cash?
No, but...
Well, that's what it cost to take him home. His grandmother couldn't keep him out of trouble this time, Will. Nothing says she can the next.
I think you're crazy.
Well, I'm not. I've got a law on my side that's crystal clear. And I tell you, you may not see it this way, but I'm doing this for Jimmy's own good in the long run.
I'm going to fight you on this, Ed.
That's your business, Will. If you and the Gazette want to uphold lawlessness, that's fine with me. But you watch, I'm going to make an example of Jimmy, and the responsible folks in this town will back me up.
Okay, I'm taking around. Second hour.
Look at that dust, Maggie.
I don't suppose anyone's bothered to look up a law in this town for years.
Librarian said it was the first call she'd had for this book in the 15 years she'd worked there. Wait a minute. Here it is. Drunkenness. The crime of drunkenness will in no wise be tolerated by the arresting authorities, constable, or sheriff of Elyria. Any person who, in the judgment of the arresting authorities, is guilty of drunkenness shall be subject to a monetary fine of $200 or 30 days confinement in the jailhouse provided for that purpose.
Oh.
In addition to these penalties, and if it would appear to serve the best interest of the town, the arresting authority may, at his discretion, place the offender up before public display and ridicule.
Wow, I guess we're lucky Ed didn't decide to carry out that clause.
Yeah. I thought there'd be something here about being a minor. But it doesn't mention age. It just says any person. Any person.
Does that mean Jimmy's got to stay in jail, Will?
Yeah, until we can raise the $200. I guess it does. Well, his grandmother hasn't got it. She told me last night. She gets a little pension, something like $40 a month. Jimmy hustles for the rest of their income.
I know.
Well, look, Maggie, this law was passed in 1850. Mm-hmm. Now, that's just about where Ed Miller's thinking is, too, back 100 years ago. I tried to talk to him again this morning, but he's so bull stubborn. Now he thinks I want every kid in the country over 10 to get drunk a couple of times a week.
Well, I know one thing. The town will never stand for it.
I hope you're right, Maggie. But, you know, I'd kind of like to keep this thing quiet for Jimmy's sake and Mrs. Reynolds. But then Maybe it'll take an editorial in the Gazette to let folks find out what's going on.
Well, maybe you could just talk to a few people first. You know, I didn't think, but it'd be a shame to plaster Jimmy's name all over the paper.
Yeah. I'd give a lot to know where he got his liquor in the first place. I asked him this morning, but he wouldn't tell me.
Well, the party was at the Evers. Maybe he got it there.
Martin Evers' boy give this party?
Uh-huh. Can I give you an idea or something?
I'll let you know when I get back.
I'll tell you, Will. I don't want my boy's name dragged into this thing. Or mine either, for that matter. Oh, Glenn just gave a little party. There's no harm in that.
I sure don't want to do anybody harm, Martin.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Now, look, Jimmy didn't accuse Glenn of doing anything wrong, did he? Because if
now,
he
now,
did...
Now, simmer down, Martin. Jimmy didn't accuse anybody. No. This is all my idea. Now, I say that Jimmy made a mistake that every boy makes in taking his first drink. But I know him well enough to know that he wouldn't do such a thing all by himself. I don't even think it was his idea to begin with.
Well, it seems to me you're missing a point, Will. Now, Ed Miller found him drunk. He didn't find anyone else. He just found Jimmy. Now, you act like Jimmy's only crime is getting caught.
You know me better than that, Martin. I'm calling what Jimmy did a mistake, not a crime. And I say he should be made to understand what he's done. But I don't think he should be thrown in jail for 30 days.
Well, is that the law?
That, a $200 fine. Old Mrs. Reynolds hasn't got the money to pay it.
Oh, poor old lady raising that boy along. Parents dead and all. Why'd you come to me with this, Will?
Thought you might want to help Jimmy.
A little blackmail, Will?
Huh?
I'm afraid it won't work. You think that just because Ed Miller's been a little lenient with me and that you happen to know about
it... I just don't work that way, Martin, and you know it.
Yeah, well, maybe not, Will. Look, it isn't my place to interfere here. I'm sorry for old Mrs. Reynolds, but Ed has got the law on his side. And if he's of a mind to enforce it, well, he must have a good reason.
I'd like to help, Will, but I got kids of my own. It wouldn't sound right if I came out against the law of the town. Now, if someone else started the ball rolling.
My heart just bleeds for poor Mrs. Reynolds. I already took her a big kettle of soup. And I feel sorry for Jimmy, too. I know he's not a bad boy, but... Well, I tell you, Will, I just can't be the one that takes the first stand on this thing. One of the town ladies had come forward.
Oh, I know, Mr. Rogers. They've been calling here and coming to see me, bringing me food and their sympathy. And I'm afraid Jimmy and I need more than that right now.
Yes, I'm afraid you do too, Mrs. Reynolds. Ed Miller isn't a bit disposed to change his mind on this.
I don't understand. We Reynolds never were one to ask any special favors. We just expected our due. I'm not proud of what Jimmy's done, but he's a good boy. Nobody knows this better than I do, Mr. Rogers. Can't Ed see he's a good boy?
That's not Ed's point, Mrs. Reynolds. You know, some folks just don't take well to power. A small man with a little power is a lot more dangerous than a big man with a lot of power. No, I just don't see Ed letting up on this thing at all. Somehow, we're going to have to raise that $200.
I'm just not sure folks will let me do that, Mr. Rogers. I've not got much of value, but I've tried to sell the little I thought might bring in some money. Everyone I call or see says the same thing. They're sorry for me and shocked at Jimmy. And they won't let me part with a thing on his account.
Now, Will, I don't think you know what you're asking of me.
I think I do, Reverend Erickson. Now, for instance, I don't think you'd call Jimmy a sinner now, would you?
No, of course not. I've been to see him. We've talked and we've prayed together. I can't condone what he did, but his God has judged him and Jimmy's repentant.
A lot of folks in town have told me that they'd follow along if some responsible person took up the cause here. Sort of a town leader.
Will, I've got my entire congregation to think of. They place a lot of faith in their minister, and I'm afraid a lot of restrictions on him sometimes.
Well, tell me this. Do you think Ed Miller's right in what he's doing?
I think he's absolutely wrong. Law and justice should always be tempered with mercy.
Mm-hmm. Long time ago, a French fellow, Rousseau, I think his name was, said that good laws lead to the making of better ones, and bad laws bring about worse. Now, I say this law is a bad one if it doesn't spell out some protection to minors on their first offenses.
Well, the law could be more specific, all right. It doesn't reflect entirely realistic thinking. But then, Ed Miller isn't reflecting the point of view of the majority of modern peace officers either.
Well, that's right. Most of them had turned Jimmy over to Mrs. Reynolds and had a good smart talk with them both. Ed's a pretty bad exception. Well, thanks for your time, Reverend.
Well, you're welcome to it, Will. And, if I find I can offer you anything else, I'll be in touch with you.
Finish your editorial, Will?
Well, not yet. Money?
$28.73.
For Jimmy's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, just take it from ATM.
$28.73. From a few anonymous Illyrians.
From Jimmy's fine.
Uh-huh. And your 10 and my 5, that makes 3, 31. $43.73.
That's fine, Maggie. Fine. Mrs. Reynolds called. She sold her old cherry rocker, also for someone anonymous, for $20.
Mm-hmm. $63.73. We're making progress, Will.
Yeah, and losing a little ground, too.
How do you mean?
Well, Mrs. Reynolds says that she and Jimmy are going to be moving downstate with her brother when this thing's over. She says her brother hasn't got much, but she won't have Jimmy here facing the shame of this thing the rest of his life.
Well, you can't blame her. I think it's wrong, but the way most people have acted, you sure can't blame her.
No.
You putting that in, Will, about them moving?
I haven't decided yet, Maggie. I'm just saying now that Jimmy didn't have much chance of being a juvenile delinquent before. But after being an Ed Miller's guest in jail, his chances of being a delinquent have improved considerably.
Here, here. Oh, that reminds me. I just ran into Reverend Erickson. Oh, he said to tell you he'd like to see you in church Sunday.
Oh.
Is that good, Will?
Well, I don't think it'll do me any harm, Maggie. I didn't miss the sermon, did I, Maggie?
There's not going to be one. Reverend Erickson just told everyone to meditate.
Oh.
It's been going on for 5 or 10 minutes.
Perhaps these verses from the scriptures will help you direct your meditations. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone. The book of St. John, 8th chapter, 7th verse. And from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse the 21st. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. 2 Corinthians 3:6.
not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. And as we prepare ourselves for the day's collection, remembering that these past months such monies have been specially set aside for the building of our youth wing, let me say to you, as Jesus said of young people, suffer them to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. It is not my custom, as you know, to count the collection as it comes in. But today I had a special purpose in so doing. If you were guided in your meditations by the verses I read to you, then I think you will not be surprised at what I'm about to tell you. You have been especially generous, and I find there is more than we need to help one of the youths of this church who ordinarily worships with us on Sunday, and who I hope will enjoy our new youth wing to the fullest. I speak of Jimmy Reynolds. I do not condone what Jimmy has done, but I condone the manner in which it has been handled even less. He is not a bad boy, Jimmy Reynolds. He is a young boy who made a mistake, a very common mistake, I might add. Against the possibility that you of my congregation may not agree with me in this matter, there is in the mail a letter to the Board of Deacons containing my resignation from this pulpit. Good morning, and God bless you.
Well, I couldn't tell for sure, Reverend, but from where I've been watching them file out, I'd say you got yourself an overwhelming vote of confidence.
It was very gratifying, Will.
For a minute there, I was kind of afraid Elyria was going to lose three of its best citizens. You, Mrs. Reynolds, and Jimmy. It seemed to me that the wrong people were leaving town.
Will, I'm calling on Mrs. Reynolds when I take Jimmy home to her. I think she'll decide to stay in Elyria, Will.
I think so, too, Reverend. And you know, after your sermon today, I think even Ed Miller will see things in a different light.